May my words and the reflections of our hearts be acceptable to God. Amen. That gospel reading is the one set for the lectionary for today, and it seems appropriate for Fair Trade Fortnight, as Jesus upsets the status quo. Though I don't actually know if the lectionary choice is accidental or on purpose for this reason. All the four gospels include an account of Jesus disrupting the activities of the temple courtyard. In the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this incident comes at the end of Jesus' ministry, and it's part of what leads to his arrest and his death. Here in John, it's reported as being early, after the first sign at Cana, when the water is changed to wine. It's perhaps worth noting that the attitude to the temple was somewhat ambivalent in Jesus' time. Very positive things were that it was God's dwelling place, a sign of the covenant promises of God and of God's presence with his people. It was therefore a symbol of the Jews as their identity as a people, the people of God. And the destruction of the temple that happened in 70 AD during the siege of Jerusalem was obviously devastating. But there were some negative connotations, particularly the connection between the temple and the Roman occupying forces. The temple priests had to answer to the Romans. It was the Roman authorities who appointed the chief priest. And so perhaps the temple leaders were not seen to be on the side of the people. In our passage, it's Passover time, and people are preparing for the festival. Jesus enters the temple and he finds what was to be expected during a pilgrimage festival. Jews from many parts of the world changing their different currencies to that of the temple in order to purchase animals, etc., for sacrifice and to pay the temple tax. Nothing is out of order at this point, says a commentator. Nothing is out of order. So what was wrong from Jesus's point of view that led to this action? The corruption. In the synoptic gospels, Jesus challenges those who are selling. It's written, he says to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. I'm sure we've all been to tourist hotspots and found that the prices reflect the popularity of the attraction. It seems to have been no different in the Jerusalem temple. Sellers had a monopoly and they made use of it. So that was one aspect which perhaps Jesus was concerned about. But in John's gospel, the emphasis is different. Jesus still drives out the sellers and the animals, but his words are different. He says to the people selling the doves, take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace. A commentator points out that, in fact, for the temple system to survive, the transactions of the marketplace were essential. The temple had to function as a place of exchange for maintaining and supporting the sacrificial structures. That was how it worked. People, as we said, exchanged money in order to pay for the sacrificial animals, and the temple tax was paid. So that was the system. And Jesus is calling for a complete dismantling of the system. Get rid of this marketplace. The system which links the worship of God to buying and selling. The system which is in league with the occupying force to the detriment of the people. This system which sees one place, the temple, as all important for the faith, as the place where God is. The system which perhaps sees the stones of the temple building as significant. This is what Jesus is calling to dismantle, to forget, and get rid of. And not surprisingly, the religious authorities ask what right he has to speak and act in this way. And as so often with Jesus, his response is enigmatic. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And in later years, as his disciples reflected, they understood this in the context of his death and resurrection. My commentator points out that the Gospels were written after that devastating loss of the temple in the Jewish war against Rome, and suggest that the Gospel narratives reinterpret that loss in terms, in fact, of a victory. According to John, Jesus asserts that he himself is the temple. Rome did not destroy Jesus by crucifying him. The temple endures through Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus' confrontation in the temple courtyard occurs towards the beginning of the Gospel of John. It foreshadows Jesus' trial and death and resurrection, all the peace. In other words, Jesus' death and resurrection are what dismantle the system. God is to be found in the person of the risen Christ, not in the temple building and its compromised ways. Unfair trading. The need for a dismantling of a system which was corrupt. In the context of Fair Trade Fortnight, that sounds to me both familiar and relevant. This year, Fair Trade Fortnight has been highlighting the growing challenges that climate change brings to farmers and workers in the communities where Fair Trade works. Farmers in countries like Kenya, Ethiopia, Honduras, those who have done least to contribute to climate change, are disproportionately affected by it. Those farmers say climate change is one of the biggest challenges to them at present, that low prices for their crops mean they're struggling to fight back, and that only with more money and resources will they feel equipped to meet their everyday needs and deal with the challenges they face. And of course, with the emergence of COVID as a global pandemic, the challenges are bigger than ever. The Fairtrade website comments that Fairtrade works to raise the voices of farmers and workers and prioritize what they need to respond to the environmental crises unfolding in already vulnerable communities. This fortnight, and indeed in the days to come, not just in the fortnight, we're asking you to choose the world you want and use your voice to tell others about the challenges that farmers face from climate change. And I was interested in something which a lady called Lila Usiba commented in the Ecumenical Service. She says, fair trade on its own cannot solve all the injustices of the world. Nevertheless, fair trade sets a direction. It makes a promise. It points us towards somewhere with hope. As people of faith committed to Christ, who offers life in all its fullness, she urges, let us not neglect to take that first step. Like us, encouraged us in ways we can take that step in where we buy things and in taking on more information. But also, the message from the Fair Trade Foundation is to tell others, to share the importance of fair trade. In the words of the prophet Amos, seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. A challenge for us all. Amen.